This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. It's our Mind Matter segment today, and we are discussing why it's important for schools to nurture good mental health among its students. And, you know, we are talking about this because it's back to school for the 2022 academic year on the 21st of March. That's right around the corner. And students, parents and teachers are all eagerly and many are anxiously also waiting to see what the new school year has in store. Meanwhile, in the last 2 years, mental health issues among children and teenagers have come to the fore. And this underscores the challenges that young people face because they're juggling so many things, studies, relationships and friendships, and their own emotional ups and downs as well. So on this episode today, I'm speaking to two teenagers to find out, you know, what is challenging for them about schooling as well as going through adolescence, you know, what causes stress in them and what they try to do to overcome it, how a community program called Kami Juara has helped them, and also joining us, clinical psychologist from Thrive Well, Chase Tan, who has been very much involved in the Kami Juara program, to talk us through how community programs like these work and also why it's important for the school environment to be a safe space for children when it comes to protecting their mental well-being. So Pradeep, perhaps I can start with you. You want to introduce yourself to us and just tell us, what are you studying now and perhaps what you enjoy doing in your free time?
Hi, I'm Pradeep and I'm 15 years old now and I'm studying Form 3 and I play football during my leisure time.
My name is Shwada and I'm 19 years old and I study at Polytechnic, and in the free time, I like to play netball.
What are you studying in Poly, Shuhada?
I'm studying agrotechnology.
Tell me what you enjoy about school.
What I enjoy about school is I meet my friends at school, and then I meet my teachers, and then we study. It's interesting to go to school.
Are there certain subjects that you're really interested in?
Maths, science, and geography.
Shuhada, what about you? What did you enjoy about school?
I enjoy making new friends and learning a new thing in the school.
Pradeep, what did you find challenging about school, especially when it came to studies and exams?
For now, it's online classes. It's actually challenging for students because it's not effective for now. And yeah, that's the only challenge for now because it's MCO. So we don't go face-to-face, we don't get homeworks there, teacher check or like that.
What do you mean when you say it's not effective?
If online, teacher will give homework in a website and then some people will not do it, and some people will do it. So when teacher asks, they say because of internet connection problem like that. So yeah, because most of students, they have internet problem at their home. So that's a bit hard for students to get their homeworks or to send their homeworks at time.
Well, what about other things about online learning, right? It's still different because you're not able to talk to your teacher directly. And, you know, let's say, for example, if there was something in a subject that you couldn't understand or keep up with, how did you get help for it?
I'll WhatsApp my teacher the question and then I'll ask how to do it. And then my teacher will take a piece of paper and she'll do the solution. She'll snap and send it to me. So if I still don't understand, during the next class, she'll explain it to everyone, like how to do it using a Jamboard or something.
Shuhada, you went through Form 5 during the MCO. I mean, what was that like? Was it very difficult?
Yes, for me, it's very difficult because I have an internet connection issue.
So it sounds like your studies were disrupted, right? Because you weren't able to join classes because of these internet problems. So what did you do then?
Well, I will WhatsApp my teachers and friends to get along the pelajaran lah.
And then you had to complete the work by yourself? Kena buat sendiri?
Most of the time macam tu lah.
Okay. How did you do it on your own?
Well, saya ada tuition. So, tuition pun kadang-kadang online and offline. So, it helped out. It helped me to do my homework and for study lah.
You were also preparing for SPM while facing these difficulties. How did you feel? Rasa bimbang tak?
Saya rasa risau dan agak stress lah. Tapi sebab ada support daripada cikgu dengan family, I can do it lah. Selalunya cikgu akan slow talk lah dengan saya dan cikgu akan buat revision dengan saya kalau cikgu tahu subjek yang saya tak tahu tu.
And how about your family? Apakah support yang diberi oleh keluarga?
Macam mak saya, dia akan bantu saya dalam subjek math lah, terutamanya lah math. Dan subjek-subjek lain pun dia membantulah saya ada soalan yang saya tak tahu dan tak dapat nak berinteraksi dengan cikgu ataupun kawan melalui WhatsApp. Yeah.
Pradeep, can you share more examples of how teachers have been a source of support for you and your friends?
My teacher give a lot of exercise to us to do, and then they actually help us when we ask questions, like anytime they are free for us. So yeah, that's how they help us, and they don't demotivate us. They just motivate us.
Do your teachers also provide motivation or advice when it comes to any problems that you may have that are not about studies, perhaps about friendships or relationships or other kinds of stress?
My teacher do counseling lah to my friends if like they had a problem with their relationship or friendship or the pressures. So my teacher will give them advice so that they will know more about the things lah, that what gives them more pressure. So how to handle your pressure or like that, how to manage. That's how my teacher teach them.
And what about your teachers, Syuhada?
Ada satu isu yang pernah terjadi waktu sekolah dulu. Ada satu seorang classmate ni, dia gosip pasal saya kepada kawan saya dan menyebabkan kesalahfahaman antara saya dan kawan saya. Dan bila saya try explain kebenaran kepada dia, dia tak percaya saya. So then ada cikgu tahu. So cikgu jumpa kedua-dua belah pihak dan cikgu selesai dengan cara lah. Ada satu dengan cara yang cikgu bagi tu, dan dia percaya lepas apa yang saya cakap pada dia.
Okay, that's a great example of, you know, how your teacher stepped in to mediate a misunderstanding between you and some of your classmates. You know, I'm curious, how did that incident make you feel where someone was spreading rumors about you? Bagaimana perasaan Syuhada masa tu?
Saya agak sedih lah dan marah sebab saya tak buat apa benda tu dan mereka cakap saya buat.
Pradeep, does bullying happen in your school?
Yeah, actually bullying happens in my school, but there's not much cases lah because my discipline teacher is a strict teacher. She's a very good teacher lah, I can say, because she will every time spot check the locker and then she will start checking everyone's bag, because a lot of vape cases in school, it's increasing lah. So my teacher will be spot checking everyone and let all the prefects to go to the school and then like just walk here so that like no students pointing lah.
What kind of bullying have you experienced or observed?
A lot of form 5 or form 4 students, when they see someone from like a form 1 student or form 2 students, when they see us, they feel like we are like a small boy, so they try to fight with us lah, like cari pasal lah. They'll start coming to us and be like, "Hey, what are you doing? And then they'll like push us, and then they'll be talking stuffs, and then a lot of things they got to do. But as what we can do is just ignore lah. We need to just ignore only. Like, because if you react to them, then they'll start bullying. But if you don't react to them, they'll get boring, and then they'll start going to other persons. So just ignore. That's what I do. Like, because some from 5 students, they also got like wanted to fight with me, but I was like, just ignore only.
How do you feel?
I feel angry. And not sad because they didn't do anything, but I feel angry. Like, because if I am a form 5 student, I would have not done that. It's like, what is the use of it? Bullying people? What do you get? There's nothing you get. So why should you do it? If you provoke them, I will fight, and then they will fight, and the problem will become bigger. But when they try to provoke me and I just ignore, there'll be no problem there. And there'll no cases like that. Because secondary school, if you have a case, it's actually dangerous for your future. Like, if primary is okay, but secondary school is actually a serious, it's a part of your life, a very important part in your life. So it's better you just come to school, just study. Why want to fight with people?
The other thing I wanted to ask about was, you mentioned that a lot of students are picking up vaping now. How close has it come to you and your circle of friends, for instance? And why do you think it's increasing among your schoolmates?
First of all, my friends don't have that habit of vaping. So, yeah. And then, but actually the cause of why the case, like, I mean, not case, the vaping is increasing is because of your friends. Because they are the one who teaches what to do. Because in this age, especially teenagers, they listen more to their friends. Like, whatever they say, they think it's right. So when parents give advice, they think it's like, why you want to give advice? I know what I'm doing. So that's how the case increased at my school. Because from 5 only, there are from 4 students of like that, they start vaping from 3 also, like because of friends. Actually, the main cause is friends. You need to have a good circle of friends.
Shuhada, was peer pressure a problem for you when you were in school? Did it cause any challenges for you?
Ada juga, tapi saya tak bersama dengan orang yang bermasalah macam itulah. So, saya cuba untuk jauhi diri daripada melakukan benda itu. Benarlah sekali itu, maybe waktu tu saya form 3 kot. Ada student form 4 or form 5, something like that. Diorang nak suruh saya, diorang nak bawa saya ke arah yang macam itulah, suruh vaping apa semua tu, but I try to menjauhi mereka semua, so tak adalah.
Were you afraid?
Perasaan takut tu ada, tapi saya percaya akan diri saya sebab di sekitar saya ada kawan-kawan yang baik yang boleh guide saya daripada melakukan benda tu lah.
Alright. Well, let's go for a quick break now, and we'll pick up the conversation on sort of the bigger role of education in young people's mental health when we come back. Today, I'm speaking to Shuhada and Pradeep, two young people who are sharing about their experiences in school. And when we come back, I'll be turning to Chase Tan, clinical psychologist from Thrive Well, for his views on this. So stay tuned to Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, Ti Xiao Ik. On the show today, Shuhada, who is 19 years old, and Pradeep, who's 15, they're both sharing about the challenges that young people face in school. And that ranges from studies and exams, as we are all familiar with, to even things like peer relationships. Also joining us on the show today, Chase Tan, who's a clinical psychologist from Thrive Well. Chase, school is such a big part of our lives when we're growing up. And a lot of it is measured by how well we do on our studies. But looking beyond that, what would you say is the role of education and the overall school environment in terms of children's mental health?
Yes. So if we think about it, right, education and school play a big part in our lives, right, especially the first quarter of our whole lives. And the role of how it plays in our mental health certainly is through shaping our identity, feelings, and thoughts as we grow through various ways. So just looking at from a psychological point of view, through Eric Erickson's stages of psychosocial development, is his theories explains that youths between age 12 or 18 either start to develop a sense of self, understanding of self, beliefs, what are their goals, what are their values, or they might actually end up in a very confused state, not knowing what they like, what they should do, or what they should learn. Right. So to elaborate that, how identity is being shaped, I would like to just share from three perspectives. So education from school, right? So because of the variety of subjects that we study, if you reflect back on it, we start to know, right, what subjects we like, we dislike, or actually good at or not good at. And that's when we start to develop an interest or understand that, oh, actually we are good at this, the confidence from it. And that eventually might even lead to working into a particular field in the future. And the second perspective is more on social co-curricular activities, such as clubs, societies, sports, or uniform bodies. And the involvement in those activities will really provide valuable experience that helps to build confidence, self-esteem, and support system. Like what I think Pradeep and Shuhada said, right? Having friends to spend time doing this. And it makes you feel good. It challenges you, like the skills on how to do it, the skills of building a teamwork, right? So those experiences definitely play a big part. And lastly is teachers, right? Teachers are usually the next group of adults that children see, learn, and trust outside of the family. And looking back at the years that I was studying, what I remembered motivated me to study a certain subject initially was not my interest, but more towards the teachers that taught it and how they helped me understand the importance and how they helped me enjoy learning, right? And I think also similarly, like what the story that Pradeep and Shuhada shared, it's the one-to-one WhatsApp approach as well. So that's when they build the confidence through there and build, make them feel that it's a safe space for them to share. So teachers definitely, so we must not underestimate the influence of teachers in a child's development.
Okay, all right. Shuhada, let's talk about the Kami Juara program, the community program that's organized by Thrive Well with your communities. What did you learn from it?
Untuk program Kami Juara, program Kami Juara ini adalah family program dan yang saya ingat belajar daripada program itu adalah how to manage emotion through the teknik pernafasan. And satu aktiviti yang paling saya ingat adalah aktiviti team building challenge. Dalam aktiviti itu, kami satu keluarga buat ada satu tu seorang kena tutup mata dan yang lain beri instruction untuk ke mana yang untuk dia pergi. Yeah.
How about you, Pradeep? What did you enjoy about the Kami Juara program?
I enjoy the activities at Kami Juara program because it's very interesting and new. I'm actually new to Kami Juara program. And what I learn is, I learn how to not be sad or how should I solve a problem when there is a misunderstanding between my friends or my family or my teachers. That I learn a lot.
Jace, turning to you, so the Kami and Kami Juara programs are community programs organized by Thrive Well. Can you tell us more about the objectives of these programs?
So just to explain a little bit, what's Kami Juara? So Kami Juara is a 12-session youth program that emphasizes on leadership skills that incorporate mental health components, like what Shuhada said, communication skills, emotional regulation skills, and decision-making skills. And throughout the program, we also hope to cultivate and guide the youth to plan a community project that can be helpful for the community.
So I'm curious to know why you choose to angle it to focus on leadership skills with a mental health component instead of, because Thrive Well is a mental health provider and organization, right? Why don't you work with young people to directly talk about mental health issues?
Right, I think that's a good question. So why not right away mental health? Because partly also we believe that the stigma, the mental health stigma is still there, whether is it individually, community, or even the family. So whenever we actually tried to pitch a mental health program, right? But actually the standard is not that well. And understandably, there are stigma, and also they might not see how impactful it might be, just mental health component. And that's when decided, you know what? That may be true, because youths need some skills to transition through phases of life, right? That's when we decided, you know what, leadership skills is important. And this is actually skills, and they are not taught, that might not be taught in schools, right? When schools are very academic based. So that's when we decided, through using leadership skills with a mix and twist of mental health. And I think what we also do that we found helpful is linking it to the community, right? How to guide them to be part of the community and provide for the community so that the community itself can develop, right? And through everyone's effort, like, no matter how old they are.
Mm. Pradeep, were you involved in coming up with a community project under the program?
Yes. It's about recycling all the plastics, all the stuffs to recycle, and you can build it like a pencil case or a pencil holder or something useful for you in house. To build, you go to, like, not to buy it, you need to go down or you see like a trash like that. So you take it and then you wash, you do all these things, and then you create like a life hacks. It's actually a life hacks.
So Chase, now we have a solid example of a project that they worked on. How does that help them in terms of their mental well-being and you know, emotionally and all of that?
Right. So because just to have a little bit of background, originally we wanted to do something bigger, like maybe activities or mental health or community projects that's physical. But because of the MCO, things have to transition to online. That's when we move to something that's more doable, which is like what Pradeep said, recycling and upcycling. And how do the skills are transferable is because needing to do this project requires communication in the family, right? Like, imagine like suddenly you're picking up trash and washing it. Family would be like, well, hey, what are you doing, right? So that's when we taught them to communicate and even get their families to involve as well, right? And that's when the communication skill comes in. And other than that, we also taught like conflict resolution, because understandably, if they do this with their family, that might be conflict because I want to do certain ways, but it's not, you can't do it. So that's when, again, it comes in. It ties with also emotional regulation, right? Like, to regulate your emotion before you communicate so that things don't escalate too quickly.
And I want to pick up on that because both Shuhada and Pradeep talked about challenges that they faced. For instance, Pradeep talked about older kids trying to bully him and he feels angry. Shuhada talked about when she was picked on as a subject of gossip. What did you hear from the young people in the Kami Juara program? What kinds of things were they struggling with?
So one thing that we really notice is what they really struggle is the lack of communication within the family, right? Like, when they face issues in school, they find it difficult to express themselves. And understandably, from an Asia culture, it's not something that we usually do, express how we feel. And that's when I think one of the strengths of the program is to teach them how to express their emotions and how to communicate throughout, whether you can even start off with something small, right? Like how they feel about eating certain things and slowly building up from there. And we can really see how they feel, they're really appreciative of this module. Like, oh, sekarang I sudah tahu lah macam mana nak terangkan perasaan saya, nak terangkan apa yang terjadi di sekolah. So that's one. And then secondly is, I know this is confidence. I know that it's not something that's trained in school, like confidence of speaking or confidence of doing things. So I think through that Kami Juara program, it helps them to build certain confidence as well. Like, because in the program, we have a lot of facilitators, which we call Atang and Kakak, lah, and really try to build that rapport. And from there, we really empower them and we can see the changes, even through online, right? From the first session, they find it hard to on their camera or speak through audio. They just chat, which is normal. And slowly build up from there, they're able to unmute and then they're able to just on their camera and talk. And that's really, we can see that confidence being built.
Johada, how do you feel, are you able to talk to your parents or other family members about your problems? Rasa susah tak?
Agak susah lah bagi saya nak bercakap dengan apa family ataupun kawan. Sebab biasanya mereka yang share problems mereka dengan saya before I can tell my problems to them lah. Then disebabkan itu, saya tak nak mereka stress up with my problem when they already stress up with their own problem lah.
Tapi Syuhada sendiri macam mana? Perasaan Syuhada semua terpendam?
Tak, untuk nak lepaskan geram tu, saya selalunya buat teknik pernafasan dan dengar lagu lah. Dan tak fikir sangat pasal hal itu.
Chase, I want to kind of like draw back and look at a bigger picture a little bit. You know, are you worried that there are certain aspects of young people's mental health that we're not paying enough attention to that will need more focus, perhaps from family as well as within the school?
Yes. So I think definitely the effect of transitioning from physical class to remote learning and then back to physical class, how students, you know, imagine putting ourselves in the shoe of the students, right, who just started to adapt to remote learning, now have to thorough switch gears to go back to physical education, along with the worry of the pandemic, right? So these mental health aspects that parents and teachers have to be aware of, such as potential anxiety of going back when they already gotten used to the routine of online classes, and also the difficulty of keeping up with studies, and also the changes of exams and timetables. I think there are something that we might have neglected, like how that actually affect the emotions of the students.
Now, what are you worried about if students are struggling in all these areas and if they can't cope and if they don't have a strong support system? What kind of consequences could we potentially see?
So in certain cases, if it's too much for them to cope, they might just give up. Right, and maybe start isolating and doubting themselves or having low moods or anxiety because there's just too much stress out there and on top of each other. So just like the fight or flight response, imagine yourself dealing with so many issues every day, eventually your body will feel so exhausted, we just go into the flight mode, right, and just to try to avoid the issue so that your body can recover emotionally or physically. And alternatively, to the other extent, there might be more towards showing fight response, right? Maybe exhibiting externalized behavior such as retaliation, frustration, or other anger behaviors.
I know you've talked about how important it is for teachers to be like one of the primary pillars of support, for them to be there when students are struggling with something and need to reach out to them. But you know, teachers have so much on their plate already, right? So if we look at the whole school system, how can we make it more of a safe space for children in terms of their mental health?
Yeah, I agree that it definitely taken a toll on teachers as well with the transition. So other than teachers, I would say definitely what I usually discuss with my clients is this triad that plays a role in emotional well-being is parents, teachers and community, right? So teachers, we already shared, then for parents definitely play a role as well in helping the teachers to understand what issues are being faced, right? Like working very hands in hand together, like with the teachers and assessing what the student needs. And other than that, it's also getting the help from outside of the school. It can be like through the community, because we tend to miss out the role of the community. Like, so working in the field of community mental health provided me with amazing insights, like how impactful a community can be as a support system, right? Like, for example, that there was an ex-participant from our program, a mother, or who usually addressed as kakak lah, who's also a tuition teacher at the community, right? And bear in mind that our program with her has finished months ago, and she recently found out about a community youth mental health workshop that was conducted by us, right? And after knowing about the workshop, she actually took the initiative to help us to recruit her students, tuition students, to join, because she noticed a common issue of her students, which is emotional stress and lack of mental health awareness. So it was really heartwarming to see how the kakak goes the extra mile for her students, and also to see that she still remembers us and support us all this time. And that's just a glimpse of how powerful and supportive a community member can be to its community.
You know, Pradeep and Shuhada talked about their experiences in the Kami Juara program. And what do you think of a program or workshop like this being conducted in schools?
Yeah, I think that's definitely something actually we're working on as well, trying to not only working with the community, but also schools, because school itself is a community, right? And not only providing the program in the school, but also get the teachers to be involved, to understand mental health aspects, to be a part of the program, maybe as a facilitator or just an observer, right? So that's when, again, how the triad works, right? Like the teachers joining, and also maybe can get the parents to join as well, so that we can all work together as a multidisciplinary holistic system. Yeah.
Pradeep, what are your thoughts about going back to school on the 21st of March? What are you looking forward to?
I hope that I can cope up with my studies with the teachers, like not like online classes, and I can score my exams this year.
All right. And all the best in your exams. Shuhada, what message would you like to share with students who are going back to school on the 21st of March? How would you encourage and motivate them?
Saya nak berpesan pada apa adik-adik yang akan masuk sekolah supaya mereka stay strong and boleh keep it up untuk pelajaran mereka.
And Chase, you talked about a triad, the teachers, the parents and the community. So what kind of support would you like to see from all these parties to give to children who are going back to school soon?
Right. So I think there are three things that I just want to highlight. CER, so communication is first, which is definitely the first step to being supportive, is to assess and understand what your children need or what your students need, right? And by communication does not mean just giving answers or telling them what to do or what not to do, but understanding how they're feeling and thinking about going back to school. Because at the end of the day, with the constant change of syllabus, mode of learning, the students or the children would know what they need better than us, whether it's emotional support, educational support, or even having a safe space to vent out. And secondly is E, which is empowerment. So support can be shown by validating or empowering them through one of the ways, right, is to let them know that, reminding them that, you know, it's not an easy thing to go back to school, right? Because it takes a lot of effort and resilience to keep needing to adapt to all these changes. Letting them know that it does take courage to step out of your comfort zone every single time. And again, the goal here is to actively let the student or children know that you care about them and you're with them to go through this process. And lastly is R, which is resources. So providing the relevant resources after communicating and understanding the children's needs. So for example, like I think what Pradeep said, like feeling maybe more towards educational syllabus, that's when the involvement of teachers, the discussion between teachers and parents will come in handy. As for emotional issues, if there are signs of children's functioning being affected, that's when reaching out to mental health professionals will be a great support too. So just like being physically sick, if your children are having a fever, parents may not be able to provide the medication, but parents are the bridge by bringing their children to see a doctor. So similarly to mental health or emotional issues, parents can be that resourceful bridge to support their children, and teachers as well, right? Identifying signs and then be that resourceful bridge by reaching out to mental health professionals. So three key points, communication, empowerment, and resources.
All right, great. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with me today. I've been speaking to two young people, Shuhada and Pradeep, as well as Chase Tan, a clinical psychologist from Thrive Well, for today's Mind Matters segment. This has been Health and Living on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.